listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 82 of the Geocaching Podcast, Cacher Coffee. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Monty Ryder.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can join in our live chat room to participate with other listeners. That's a whole lot of fun, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We have a voicemail line if you're listening to this later and want to comment. That is 206-350-3GPS. And we're on Twitter, twitter.com/GC podcast. Montu, Daryl, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back. Had I thought was going to be a good weekend. Went up, worked with the train some, actually got in a little bit of cache maintenance in, had gotten some reports that one of my larger caches had somehow gotten thoroughly soaked. I went out and retrieved it. Seal seems fine on the can, but somehow it was almost half full of water, and it's a 81 millimeter ammo can, so rather large. Another cache that had been declared missing, went out and checked. Both the mileage marker on the trail is there, as it should be, and the can was there. So my guess is the guy didn't know what to do with the fraction. And the third cache we checked on was missing, so had to disable that one as well. So I've got to get some replacement cans and get those out there. And then yesterday, wound up having to spend most of my day at the ER with the wife. I woke up, couldn't breathe, and had a sharp pain in her chest. Turns out has bacterial pneumonia.
Oh, no.
So not a fun day. How about you, Daryl?
Oh, Daryl said that Gizmo has died on him, dialed in. So I'll go ahead and tell you what happened for our weekend. We just basically painted our living room and our kitchen. We didn't do a whole lot. That was all weekend. So Friday night we started painting, and then Saturday finished painting, and then Sunday we actually moved back in all of our living room and settled it back to the way it was. It looks really good. We hadn't had any paint on it for the last 4 years of us living here. It was the primer white type, off-white color. So we just decided to do that, and it makes the room a whole lot more livable. So that was my weekend. Did a lot of painting. So, we're waiting on Daryl to get back on the phone here. I'll go ahead and introduce the topic tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about caching coffee, it's a cacher coffee, what we're calling it. And what it's going to be is kind of like if you were sitting at a coffee house, we're just with a bunch of cachers. We're going to open up the phone lines. Everyone can be open at once. We're going to talk, and we're going to have just about any random stuff that relates to caching. And so I want to welcome everybody to the show here. If you end up having some sound where you're making echoes and stuff like that, I'll go ahead and mute you. Just push the request to talk. But welcome to the show. And I actually have to admit, I'm not drinking any coffee tonight. I'm actually drinking water. Didn't get home in time to prepare my coffee or anything. So welcome to the show, everybody. Montu, everybody, kind of wish... waiting on Daryl to get back here. He says Gizmo died. So, welcome to our Cacher Coffee. Any topics that you guys want to talk about tonight? I know it's starting to get winter in our neck of the woods here. Most places it's getting winter, but it's starting to actually get cold. We had our first snow the other night, so our first real big snow. So it's going to be interesting getting to the caches. Now, any thoughts on winter caching?
Well, I'm starting to love it. 51 degrees here tonight, so So definitely nowhere near as cold as what you got up there, Andy, but it's getting beautiful out there. We can go out on the sails and not have to worry about the heat or anything.
So we're back here now. And Daryl, are you back with us again?
I am, but I'm in via the phone because TalkShoe won't allow me to dial in via Gizmo anymore.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No, it keeps refusing my password again.
Huh. All right. Well, we kind of talked before I got kicked off, too. I brought up the topic of it being cold and starting to get cold up here and snowing, and that is definitely, I think, going to affect my casting, especially since I do a lot of casting with my family. And I apologize since I was off the phone if we had mentioned anything while I was off the phone about that. But is that going to affect anyone's caching?
Cold? Yeah, you know, we don't go out for the longer walks as much as we would normally. Aside from that, though, it's kind of nice doing a bunch of the little short caches because you don't have to worry about the mosquitoes as much. You don't have as many muggles running around, so just kind of an easier time.
You're talking about the infamous LPCs?
Yeah, well, not just LPCs, but, you know, like the park bench caches, the, you know, the stuff that normally is a little bit tougher urban caching, but not necessarily just LPCs.
Yeah, I know. Me and my friends, we're talking about maybe getting into some way marking.
Yeah.
Waypoints. Just do that for the winter around here.
Yeah, yeah, that can be a lot of fun, too. You know, a lot of the photography stuff, you can get the you know, better views of monuments and things because you don't have all the leaves on the trees.
True. I find myself not liking the waymarking as much as I thought I would. It's good for some things, but I don't think that it's great. Daryl, do you do a lot of waymarking?
You know, I played with waymarking a little bit, decided it wasn't for me, and just gave up on it. I haven't actually tried it in about 8 months.
Too many McDonald's in your area?
Well, it's not just it's too hard to find stuff to go find. You know, you don't have that nice pocket query engine. There's no good software for, like, phones or anything yet. Maybe there will be,
yeah.
Maybe there won't. It just isn't an easy, convenient game to play. I have to work too hard to play it to make it interesting for me.
Yeah, that's just no fun.
No.
Now on the flip side of that, though, C. Mike and Monty Rider both live in places where it's starting to get warm or starting to cool down, and so that they can actually go outside and cache now. So for them, it's a totally different game.
Oh yeah, it is definitely that time of the year to go out and do some hunting for caches. Caches beware, here I come.
Now, Daryl, I noticed that in our show notes, and I don't think I even thought about this last night or last week when we were talking about, and you weren't on the show last week, and it's good to see you that you're feeling better now. But you're talking about in-car internet. Can you give us a little bit more information on that? Because I'm not real familiar with that.
Yeah, sure. One of the nice things that we're seeing more and more of is some kind of in-car Wi-Fi. Some cases you actually still have hardwired connections to if you don't want to run Wi-Fi. But even Chrysler is going to be installing what they're calling their Uconnect service in vehicles 2009 model year, I think it is. So we should start seeing those really soon. There's also a service called AutoNet Mobile. And I don't know if that's the one that Chrysler's actually using or not. There's like two or three different services out there. And they're not terribly expensive for the monthly service fees on those two. They're like $30 a month. And they do cap your transfers. So if you're going to be doing a lot of internet usage, it doesn't work. But for, you know, light usage, I think they cap it at 1 gig on the $30 plan and then 5 for the or $50-ish for the 5 gig plan. And it's, you know, speeds about 800K, so fairly common 3G speeds. And those are just little routers that mount in the car so that you never have to think about it. So it's really kind of cool because you just plug them in. They're there. When you need them, they're available, you know.
Yes, I was just checking their website, and they do say their partnership with Chrysler.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah, there's two of them out there, and I couldn't remember which one was which, and I could only find the AutoNet Mobile. But one of the nice things about the things like the AutoNet Mobile and, you know, Uconnect, which is the same one apparently, is that they're not using one provider. So if one provider has better service in an area than another, they might be using that provider instead, so you're more likely to get good connections where you went with a single provider. But if you have a provider already, either like Verizon's EVDO or Sprint's EVDO, there's another company that makes something that, in my opinion, is a lot cooler, and that's Cradlepoint. They have these really cool, small, like a little bit bigger than a cigarette pack, I guess, but a lot thinner box that is just Wi-Fi only. It's got a 2-hour battery if you use one of the USB EVDO dongles, which you can use on your computer too. So, you know, the nice thing about going Wi-Fi too, I might say, you know, as opposed to just like tethering your phone to the computer, is that this is something that's available to everyone in your car, or in the case of like the Cradlepoint, which is a battery operated device, or you can, you know, power it from the car. You just plug it in, stick it in your pocket, and everyone around you, you're just walking with a cloud of Wi-Fi. So everyone around you with their, like, iPod Touch or, you know, like a EEPC, for instance, one of the little netbooks, everyone can use that cloud of Wi-Fi as long as they have access to the, you know, grant them access through either a password or MAC filtering or something like that. So it's just really more flexible than just doing like a tether or even just doing something like the 3G on your BlackBerry or Windows mobile device. So very yeah. cool feature. And if you've already got the EVDO card, then that, or, well, I shouldn't say a card, but the EVDO USB connectors, most of those will work with that Cradlepoint. So it makes it a really, really nice unit to add on to the collection.
Now, Team Legend 4 has that, don't they?
Yeah, they've been actually using that, I want to say, for about a year. And he actually just takes the whole rig, straps it together with, I think, like a rubber band, and slaps it in his coat pocket. And Geek Boy's just commenting, too, that it, some phones do work with that Cradlepoint unit.
Cradlepoint. Well.
So you might, you know, check it out. You might even be able to do that. Now, one of the problems, though, too, is that most phones, when they go into tethering mode, you can't use the phone. Or when the phone rings, it, you know, shuts it off. When you try to use the phone, it shuts down the internet connection. So that's also something to consider.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. And that's definitely what I would, I think would be cool to have. You know, if I were to get a car internet, I would definitely want to get the Cradlepoint. Just for the fact that, you know, anywhere, if we're in the car, we can do that. You know, if I walk out to a cache, I still have internet access with me, like you said, in that cloud of Wi-Fi. Has anyone else here ever used that or a similar device that they can speak of? And again, give us a call at 724-444-7444, and our ID is 7525.
Now, we might note, too, with these AutoNet routers, those are something that the dealer can actually install. And from what I've been told, the Chrysler dealers can actually install those routers in any maker model. So you don't even have to have a Chrysler. If you want one, you go in, you drop your, I want to say it was $500 for the router, sign up for the $30 service, and you're done. You don't even have to think about it. As long as you're near your car, you've got the service.
And that works great, especially on, like, trips where you're doing caching runs or whatever, because you can have your wireless up and, you know, get new pocket queries. When you're going to a new location, you can log your caches. Like, that's pretty an awesome deal, and I think that if I was going to get that, I would definitely want to do that.
Yeah, especially for $30 a month, that's just amazing, because you're talking most of the 3G networks are charging somewhere in the neighborhood of like $30 or $50 for their EVDO cards. Now, tethering is usually a little bit less expensive, but that relies on whatever phone you're using.
Correct. Now, anyone else have any topics they want to bring up? Like I said, tonight's a little bit different format. We're not necessarily going to have a complete planned out thing, so there may be pauses in the recording where we don't speak for a little bit while someone brings up a new topic. Is there any topics that anyone wants to bring up?
I don't know. Has anybody else tried the GeoBuddy software?
I've looked at it. I've not played around with it. Daryl or anyone else, have you played with it?
Well, I have not, but, I'm Mac-based, so I tend not to look at too much of the Windows end.
Yes, I'm currently trying to use it since, for some reason, my GSAC just went kaput on me last week. Won't reload or anything. I've tried all the different things they say to do on their website, but...
In reference to that, you should probably contact Clyde, the author. He's very, very good at getting support.
I emailed him, and he gave me a whole list of stuff to try, and none of it worked. I even uninstalled it, totally cleaned out my registry of all identity of it, and it still wouldn't. It loads up, gets to the screen, and then just locks up. I kind of like this GeoBuddy, I mean, because it brings the map, brings a regular topo map right on the screen, too.
Oh, that's nice.
And I notice when you're online and you view those things, the maps, it actually downloads them and puts them in a separate directory. So when you're taking your laptop on the road with you, it'll show you exactly where it's at then, too.
Has anyone else tried any new software that they'd like to talk about or software that they use for geocaching, since we're kind of on the topic of software?
I could mention that I got the 1.1.1 geocaching app downloaded and installed on my iPhone last Sunday or whatever it was. No, it was actually before that. And can actually log in now. I just haven't been able to go caching with it yet because I've been sick.
So it's more of a lack of time than anything.
Yeah, well, and I really, really, really want to try it because it does seem to be a lot better than the 1.1s or 1.0 software was. That was just not worth even downloading, really. So now it's actually looking like it could be a useful app. The Nav Compass, when I've tried that in the 1.0, just really wasn't useful because by the time the iPhone itself got its location fixed, you would have already found the cache if you were standing anywhere close to it. And if you weren't, you're going to want the map to figure out what roads to use to get to it. So I ended up just hitting the map, which takes you right out of the app anyway and takes you into the Google Maps app, which really works very well. I found a few caches just doing that, and I've actually gone out finding caches just off the iPhone, especially when you don't even really think that you want to go caching. You're, out for, event or something like that. Didn't bring your better GPS with you. So that's when these kind of apps come in handy. It's certainly not like a Geocache Navigator from Trimble, but it's still better than nothing at all.
Yeah, I'm holding out because I don't think I want to buy that software since I do only have the iPod Touch. I don't want to get in with that since I don't have the GPS in my iPod. So I don't think I want to get into that. I'm waiting out. I'm holding out for the Bishop software. Hopefully that comes out fairly soon. For the iPod, I'm longing.
Waiting with bated breath. I really, really, really want to try PowerNotes.
I do too. Very interested in that to see what's going on. People in our chat room have said that they would love to see an app for the Where I Go.
That's something that I think the iPhone's really going to be good at. Just because it does have such an amazingly good screen and such a nice, touch interface that I think they really could do a wonderful job with Where I Go. And because where I go takes a little bit to really acquire anyway, you know, to get into the cartridge, I don't think that the navigation is going to be quite the issue that it is for geocaching.
Now, I've still not yet had a chance to actually play with where I go. The one time that I tried was at Midwest Geobash, where Geek Boy and myself and Click Chick and my wife and kids tried to find a cache, where I go cache, and we were unsuccessful. The cartridge just did not work. We tried both with the Colorado and with the mobile device app, and it just, both of them, yeah, we had, as Geek Boy says, we had techno failures. It didn't work out for us. I'm still interested in trying to try one sometime. So let's talk about that for a little bit. What does everyone think of those of you who have tried Where I Go Caches? What do you think of them? What are they useful for? How have you been using them?
Well, my experience so far has been that they're really kind of buggy yet, and haven't been solid enough to really play with. It's more of a, you know, mess around and hope that it works. We've only done one Where I Go Cache, which was actually a fairly simple one. And we had two Colorados and the Oregon all running the Where I Go cartridge, and not all of them behaved in exactly the same manner from within the same vehicle.
That's why we're on the topic of a Where I Go. Does anybody know if there's a pocket PC emulator for a regular Windows PC?
Well, if you're looking to run the Where I Go cartridges, the emulator is built right into the Where I Go builder.
Okay. So I wonder if it'll work with my DeLorme Earthlink, who is it, 120 or 20, something like that?
Yeah, I don't think that would work, because I believe the way that has to work with the emulator is that it has to have an internet connection, and I don't believe it actually talks to a GPS. You know, you're dragging your little guy around on the map to indicate where you are at the time as you're testing your cartridge.
Oh, okay. That's true. I wonder if I could do it with my laptop.
Yeah, well, it'd be a little bit awkward anyway, just carrying a laptop, especially without the built-in GPS. But carrying the laptop around and trying to figure out where you're walking, climbing over hills and stuff, probably wouldn't be the best idea. Now, Andy, I think you could actually talk a little bit about not being such a good device.
Yeah, when we first started caching, we had a laptop with an external DeLorme device, and man, there was times, especially when you're first trying to cache, getting used to it, you don't realize about having to look around in your surroundings, and you're just so into looking at the caching screen. I mean, we had the GPS and or the laptop, and there'd be times I was walking through the forest and I'd trip and fall and throw the laptop. Luckily, it was a fairly rugged laptop and it didn't break. I mean, it came back all dirty, but it did definitely not the best way to cache.
Well, I'm not too worried about that, since I do own a Toughbook.
Yeah, Toughbooks are great for that.
But then again, I mean, again, it's where you're coming through the forest and you haven't carry a laptop. You definitely get some weird looks from muggles.
Oh, yeah.
You're with the forestry department.
We're surveying, yes.
Hey, we use that same excuse on the, when we're going along the canal banks here, you know, throw the little red orange flashing light up on top of the pickup truck and drive the canal banks. No one says anything.
The next topic that I'd like to talk about a little bit is, and we had spoken, and I don't know if we've actually spoken on the podcast ever about this, but we have talked about it off of the podcast, after podcast, about sometime having a Midwest geocaching podcast meetup somewhere in the Midwest around the Chicago area, Indiana area. We'd like to schedule that sometime. We're thinking of sometime around the first of the year or something. So be on a lookout for that. Anyone have any dates or places. We're really looking for a good place to have a meetup so we can basically do this whole cash or coffee thing in real person, in real people, real time, where we actually get to hang out.
I'm currently working on putting on a caching event, probably not this year, but the following year, in Wyandot, Oklahoma. I have a friend of mine who owns a 700-acre paintball field. It's all wooded and everything, wooded open areas and everything. And I'm thinking about trying to hold a mega event there. He said I'm welcome to use it for 1 week or for a whole week. He has 100 acres of camping right there on site.
Wow, it sounds like a good thing.
He's also, I mean, they have showers there and everything, and a restaurant right there on the place. He only holds like 3 paintball events there at that facility. The rest of them held in his other field in town, but I mean, it's like centrally located to Joplin, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I mean, that's pretty Midwest itself right there.
So, Daryl, anything else topic-wise, or any other topics we want to talk about tonight?
Nothing that comes to mind for me. I've been a little bit out of it, so just catching up over here.
You have, definitely. Are you both, you and Dre, okay now?
Well, I'm not at 100% yet. The weird thing was that I actually went through like 4 different colds during the 7 days that I was down. And I was completely down for most of that. 5 days, I'd say, I slept at least 22 hours a day.
Man.
So I was just completely out of it. And Dree's actually, I think, up to about 99% again. I'm probably about 95%. And we're dying to go caching just because, you know, it's been, 3 weeks. And we made it out to the flash mob, and, well, that didn't work so well for us. So we did the flash mob and immediately came home because we were freezing, and the rest of the day we slept.
Yeah, we didn't actually have any flash mobs around here, like, locally. There was one in Fort Wayne, but I wasn't really going to drive to Fort Wayne, which is almost an hour away, for a 15-minute event. I know there's lots of good caching, but we had, we couldn't go, so.
Well, next time you'll just have to host your own.
And we were going to, we thought about it, because last time I went with, went to Candy's event, who is in our chat room normally, and this year they decided not to have one, and we were going to host one together, but then her husband said, they would rather just sit and go to one this time as opposed to hosting an event, because that was their first time hosting one last time, and so they just wanted to go to one, and I didn't end up hosting one then, and it worked out okay that I didn't, because we had other things going on. We had our Friendsgiving, which is our time that we get together with our friends around Thanksgiving and eat lots of food, so.
It sounds like we really had some cool, like, almost themed flash mobs this time. Sonny and Sandy were talking about the one where everyone pretended they were a train.
Yeah, that was cool.
The fooning, so I think that's something to think about, maybe even not with the, worldwide flash mobs, but even to do just a little flash mob here and there this winter, see if you can't come up with, like, a theme where everyone brings, like, a shovel and shovels off the snow from some fountain area in a park or whatnot,
just random things.
Yeah, it, kind of get more back to the original flash mob concept where they were doing, the flash mobs at the, the big box stores where everyone wore the blue shirts and, mm-hmm. Looked like they worked there and walked in and started answering questions and everything, or, the zombies walking down Main Street. Do something a little bit more like that with geocachers.
So it would be like a cash in, snow out?
Yeah, there you go.
That wouldn't work in Salt Lake. The flash mob that we had down in Provo ended up lasting 45 minutes. Because
it really wasn't...
they decided to place it about 5 feet away from a difficulty 5 cache that has not been found and has been placed for like 2 years now.
Wow.
So everyone decided to stick around and try and find that cache. Well, it still doesn't have a find even after 40 people looking at it for 45 minutes.
Well, ours was a fairly unsuccessful flash. We mobbed okay, but we didn't flash very well. There was like two people in the park, and it was a really cold, icky day, one small parking lot, so everyone pretty much just got out of their cars and started chatting with everyone around the parking lot. So I was like, oh, it's time to start. Everyone walk over here.
Speaking of hard-to-find caches, I just got an offer from I'm in the military here, the Guard, and in an aviation unit, and one of the couple of pilots told me they'd take me up to the back country in a helicopter for me to plant a cache up in the middle of nowhere.
That'd be cool.
I figure I'll put like a $50 gift card to REI in there for that first finder.
Yeah, just
that'd be worth it.
Have to do much cache maintenance on it.
Nope.
Well, guys, if we have got no other topics to cover tonight, I'm going to go ahead and close our cache or coffee. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We do this whole podcast thing every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. Normally, it's not like this. Normally, we have a topic that we cover, and it's you can call in and talk, but normally it's not an open forum like this. We thank you, everybody, for who came out today and everyone who supports the podcast. You can call in live at our chat room, which is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. And our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line, which is 206-350-3GPS, anytime to leave us a voicemail. Thanks for joining us tonight, and we hope to see you back next Tuesday. Have a great night.